One of the most potent political issues in regional Australia is the right of farmers and rural communities to say no to exploration or mining on their land. Before the last federal election, then opposition leader Tony Abbott told Sydney broadcaster Alan Jones that mining companies should not be on land without permission.
Well, it's very wrong, and they shouldn't be going onto land where the relevant landowners don't want them. And it's as simple as that, Alan.
That's policy. Simple. Two sentences. So you stick by what McFarlane has said?
Absolutely.
And you do that in government? Because O'Farrell said that in opposition, but he didn't do it in government.
Well, I want to be someone who keeps commitments. And the interesting thing, Alan, is that the sensible miners, people like Santos, don't go on to land if the landholders aren't happy about it. And that's the way it ought to be.
That was then opposition leader Tony Abbott 3 years ago. Within days of that, though, he was backtracking and passing the issue off to the states, saying it wasn't a federal issue. In the intervening 3 years, this problem hasn't gone away, bedevilling governments of all persuasions. But this week in New South Wales, the Land and Environment Court delivered a landmark judgment reaffirming the right of landowners to refuse access to mining companies for exploration and drilling. At this stage, the national implications of the ruling are unclear. But once again, radio host Alan Jones was leading the court of public opinion, as Greg Borschman reports.
Forget about the little guy David for a moment. On syndicated commercial radio yesterday, it was a case of Goliath versus Goliath.
This mongrel mob, and I use the word advisedly, from South Korea, POSCO, trying to sophisticate it by making sure we think they're Australian and calling themselves Hume Coal. This has been a 6-year campaign by the Southern Highlands community down there. Awful. And they fought to stop this underground coal mine planned by this mob, POSCO.
Broadcaster Alan Jones, in his own inimitable style, was taking on Korean steelmaking heavyweight POSCO and its Australian-owned coal operation, Hume Coal. It was much more than an ill-considered or intemperate spray. Jones wanted to expose what he saw as serious flaws in the environmental assessment process in New South Wales and the political system that ultimately controls it.
The company's own documents concede that it will draw down water from the pristine aquifer system underlying the area, draw it down by 90 metres, affecting an area over 300 square kilometres. I've called these people vandals, and they are. And then the company was going to pump toxic mining rejects in some sort of slurry back into the great hole that the mining creates right under the aquifer that would pollute the groundwater for generations to come. Who ever gave this mob a licence?
The fight is an old one, but it's as politically potent as ever. The right of farmers and communities across Australia to say no, to veto exploration or mining on their land. On Tuesday, the New South Wales Land and Environment Court had refused Hume Coal access to 5 properties on the New South Wales Southern Highlands for exploration drilling. Peter Martin is one of those landholders. He says the fight is not just about New South Wales.
I guess it is bigger in the sense that communities across Australia have had their democratic rights taken away by governments, bureaucracies, you know, federal and state, and particularly the mining companies during this resource boom. And I think it sends a signal that that's not sustainable. Governments are responsible to communities, not to big vested interests and multinational corporations.
The real David and Goliath element of this story is how Peter Martin's local community took on a global steelmaker, both equally organised and determined enough to win.
Well, we've spent 6 years in this fight, and you know, some of us have been working full time on it for most of that time. And there's a group, we've got a group of over 100 volunteers who work in the team. In terms of funds, money, it's well over 7 figures and heading towards 2x7 figures pretty quickly. You need a lot of money to fight these fights in terms of experts' reports, and obviously legal actions take large resources.
7 figures, you're talking about $1 or $2 million.
Correct.
Where do you get that sort of money from?
Well, Greg, essentially you've got to raise it. And I think this is a problem for a lot of communities. They don't have access to people with deep enough pockets, and even if they've got deep pockets, there's always a lot of cobwebs in those pockets.
Some of the best legal brains in New South Wales are now trying to make sense of the decision. For the New South Wales Minerals Council, it was the proverbial landmine, unexpected and still ticking.
We've asked for legal advice on the decision and we will consider our options once we receive that advice. We are concerned about the possible implications of this ruling.
Stephen Galilee is CEO of the New South Wales Minerals Council. He wasn't prepared to speculate on the possible national implications of the court's decision. Rather, he wanted to talk about a bigger, global problem.
We are very keen to make sure it is understood globally that our minerals deposits here in New South Wales are world class. Our prospective exploration investment here in New South Wales is world class. And that irrespective of the implications of this judgment, our state remains a very important prospective state for mining investment.
Multinational controlled Hume Coal were keen to spruik their local connections. Ben Fitzsimmons is media coordinator for Hume Coal.
The majority of people, actually all the people who work for Hume Coal, live in Australia. The majority of the people who work on the project are Australian. So to call us a mongrel mob from South Korea, whilst our parent company is POSCO, we are an Australian-owned company.
Alan Jones also maligned the environmental assessment process, the EIS process, and your opponents call it completely corrupted. Why should the public trust it?
Look, we've spent the last 5 years investigating the environmental impacts of our proposed development on the Southern Highlands. We're implementing or we're proposing a brand new mine with brand new technology meeting all of today's environmental standards, and we're starting from scratch.
Ben Fitzsimmons makes it clear the $600 million project is far from dead.
Our parent company, POSCO, and Hume Coal, we are committed to pushing this project all the way to the end. We're investing a lot of time and a lot of effort to make sure we get it right. And we're designing a coal mine for today's climate, for the people of New South Wales, and more specifically, the people of the Southern Highlands.
But local landowner Peter Martin thinks that the political support for King Coal is drifting away.
The political process has been captured by large resource companies over the last 10 or 15 years. I think Hume Coal and POSCO are kidding themselves if they think they can lean on the present government to change the law for them at this point in time, because the market's dropping away for coal, and in the end politicians look at votes and they look at jobs and they look at pots of gold, and if all of those are drifting away, they're not going to do anything. And I think the rules won't be changed in this instance, although they could always be, but I don't think they will be.
That's Peter Martin, Director of the Southern Highlands Coal Action Group, ending that report from Greg Borschman.
Want to hear about the best party in town this election season? It's a new podcast with me, Fran Kelly.
And me, Patricia Carvelis.
The Party Room, your essential guide to this federal election. Subscribe now. Simply search for The Party Room in your podcast app.
Or listen via the RN website, abc.net.au/RN.